News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. There's our motto, and we live by it. Hey, listen, by the way, I got to tell you, rightsideradio.org, that's our website. If you go there right now, you will find that among other things that are happening at Right Side Radio, some of which will be announced here in just the next couple of days, that among other things, we are hiring. So if you want to be a part of the Right Side team, we're looking for a sales force right now, or added to our sales force. So yeah, we've got it posted right there at the top of rightsideradio.org website. If you're somebody who, you know, can look folks in the eye, shake their hand, make your own hours, you want that flexibility, and you believe that you want to make a good living being a part of a team like Right Side's, then right now we're hiring. So yeah, take a look at our website. Get in touch with us through the website. And the contact information's on there. Man, we would love to talk to you. So yeah, Right Side Radio is hiring. We're looking for dynamic people to do dynamic work on a dynamic team. All that to say, too, there's other things on that website. Man, I'm telling you, I looked. We are literally just about to make 60,000 downloads of the podcast. So if you're somebody who podcasts, or you hear a part of the show you like and you want to send it to somebody, or if you just missed a part yesterday and you want to catch up, there you go. The podcast of the show is on there every single day. Copper takes a show, breaks it down into sizable chunks, I guess you'd say. 6 to 8 portions of the show come together into a 6 to 8 podcast when Birdman takes it and uploads it to basically every form of podcasting known to man. So yeah, the team puts these together for you, and about 60,000 almost downloads of that podcast right now. You can find it on the website, rightsideradio.org. And there's other stuff too. Listen Live is one of our options. I tell you all the time, we got folks that call in, and literally they're calling in from like out of state, and they're calling in from, you know, down in South Alabama. Well, it's because they're streaming the show live. That's one of your great options. So no matter where you are in the whole wide world, go to the World Wide Web and click on rightsideradio.org, and then double click again on Listen Live. And no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, all that plus more, the Right Side Store, the things we write, the books that we read, they're all on that website. Yeah, rightsideradio.org, got it all on there. So lots of stuff happening in the world of the military. And you heard me a moment ago in my monologue just talk about, you know, these military units that have mottos, I mean, and all of them do. Because in the military, it's not like it's not this way anywhere else. I'm just saying that it's so easy to see, because in the military, you can find your unit designation very quickly. You can look at someone's uniform and get a quick glance of where they've been, what they've done, what their skill sets or qualifications might be. You can see whether they've, you know, been overseas or not. You can look at all these things on a uniform. But one of the things you can also see is very quickly in a formation, you'll see the guidon. The guidon has the unit designation on it. The color of the guidon and the symbology on the guidon, that's a flag, tells you the unit, and the streamers that might hang from that guidon tell you what they've done in a wartime setting. So all these things are quick visual cues. Well, one of those visual cues is the fact that every unit has a motto. A lot of times you have to say it when you're saluting a superior officer. I mean, like, you know, literally, Rangers will as they see a superior officer approaching, they'll say, "Rangers, lead the way, sir." And the usual response is, "All the way," and move on from there. So yeah, those mottos mean something. They're there. But I can't help but question, are we losing the flavor of what it means to have a mentality like those that are embraced by those mottos? That's the whole point of my monologue, is that when you say recruiting numbers are down, it's not like the world is suddenly more safe so we don't need more soldiers. We suddenly don't need more sailors at sea. We don't need more SEALs popping up out of the water and doing good things to bad people. We need them. And we might need them more than ever, to be honest with you. Because getting all of those soldiers in the pipeline does not mean they're ready for us today. And the things that we see coming right now may still be a few years away. But when you look at the near peers, we call them, the near peers like China and Russia, when you see the type of activity that they are staging and preparing for, you look at it and go, that's a tomorrow thing, but we have to prepare today. And one of the things that's happening today is we are not seeing the recruiting pipeline being able to sustain the level of force that we declared that we had to have based upon in-strength projections. And that's a big, hairy deal, y'all. Readiness is more than just, you know, statistics on a page. Readiness is the troops that are ready. Readiness is the funding and the equipment and the training on the equipment. It's all of these things all built in. It's unit in strength. It's unit capabilities. It's units having gone through not just the manning, but the training. And then not just the training on the individuals, but the training, you know, in terms of the ability to operate as a functioning team. And all of that takes time and all that takes constant recruiting. But when you see both recruiting and retention bottoming out like they're doing right now, it is cause for concern about our national level of military readiness. And so as we go through this next section here in a minute, all you green suiters out there at Redstone and folks who are veterans in the community and others who are around and about that serve or at least have an inclination to serve or, for that matter, have family members and friends who are serving, let me just tell you, we are in a position right now unlike anything we've had probably since the Carter era. And my dad, I remember my dad specifically talking about having to serve through what he called the Hollow Army of the Carter era. He came out of Vietnam where they were mission oriented. He was a line officer, an armor officer. And then things began to kind of go into the Hollow Army where you would have, you know, half a formation and no time for weapons training. And other things seemed more important than readiness. Well, we're looking like we're back there right now again. Do I love this military? Yes, I do. Every single service branch, I have great respect for them and those of you who have served. But I am deeply concerned about where this current administration is allowing it to go. All right, folks, we're going to do all of that and more as soon as we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Time now, 2:36 p.m. Remember at 3:30, my friend Brian Taylor, who has been on the show multiple times. Brian is not only a former state senator, he's also been an advisor to two governors, and he is now back in private practice, just happens to be the attorney who is engaged to act on behalf of two election challenges, which are still going in legislative races. Unbelievable. It ain't over till it's over. That's coming up later, and Brian Taylor will be on with us at 3:30. Right now, I'm doing a thing in my triple dipper, which is spinning straight out of my monologue. I'm calling this Where Are the Warriors? Now, let's make no mistake. It's still a dangerous world. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's not like we can say, well, we can go ahead and reduce the projections for troop end strength because we don't deem the world to be, you know, sufficiently nasty. Well, it's sufficiently nasty. It is. To the extent that even story on FoxNews.com dated yesterday, NATO invited Sweden and Finland to become members in wake of Russia's Ukraine war. Europe is heating up. Europe is getting strange and stranger by the day. You know, we haven't done a Ukraine update in a while, and probably we're probably overdue to do that. But Ukraine, I still say the war in Ukraine right now is one of the biggest foreign policy stories of the decade. And at the same time, what it's doing is causing an expansion of NATO. So as a North Atlantic Treaty Organization, as it expands, what that's basically saying is it's almost as if the Cold War era is renewing in a sense. Nations are deciding that they need to be banded together and have the protections against the possible encroachment of the Russian bear. And here we are. So NATO leaders, according to FoxNews.com, NATO leaders formally invited Finland and Sweden to become members of the military alliance Wednesday. And by the way, this is no small thing. You know, please don't go, oh, that's neat. No, this is a big, hairy deal. NATO has not increased in size like this in quite a while. And it's also been the kind of thing that has created saber rattling on the part of Russia. They don't want to see NATO expand. Well, not only that, but President Joe Biden says, our commander-in-chief, he says, in a moment when Putin has shattered peace in Europe and attacked the very, very tenets of rule-based order, the United States and our allies are going to step up. We're stepping up. Anyway, that's Biden's position. But what he's also saying, though, is it's a dangerous world, and yet our recruiting in strength is down. At the same time they announced the expansion of NATO, they also announced that the U.S. is set to establish its first ever permanent troop presence in NATO's eastern flank in Poland. So Poland's going to have strategic basing for U.S. troops, permanent. American forces also, it was announced, will maintain a rotational brigade of 3,000 fighters and 2,000 support personnel in Romania. So almost like the Korea rotations, we're going to start seeing Romanian rotations that are going to wind up being basically a brigade combat team plus, probably with a persistent presence there of support troops to go with it. All right, all that to say, how about this? Story off of Reuters 2 days ago. NATO to boost troops on high alert to over 300,000. NATO, it says, will boost the number of troops on high alert by more than sevenfold to over 300,000, the Secretary General said on Monday, as allies prepare to adopt a new strategy describing Moscow as a direct threat 4 months into the Ukraine war. Yeah, it says Russia's February invasion of Ukraine sparked a major geopolitical shift in the West, prompting once neutral countries like Finland and Sweden to apply to join NATO, which I just told you they just were accepted, and Ukraine to secure the status of candidates to join the European Union. Yeah, so it's a complete shift. And by putting over 300,000 troops on high alert compared to the 40,000 normally, that currently makes up the alliance's quick reaction force. What they're doing is they're going into a forward posture. They're in the military, we'd say they're leaning forward in the foxhole. They're literally taking a ready posture with a much higher level of troop strength than they have ever done. Not in many, many years. All right. You know, I say all that. The world is a more dangerous place, perhaps than it's been in a while. Meanwhile, as that's happening in Europe, you know, we still got China posturing on Taiwan. By the way, there's a lot of industry in Taiwan, not the least of which are microchips, that we rely upon as a nation. And if Taiwan is invaded by China, what are we going to do? This is on everyone's mind at the Pentagon, I guarantee you. And yet, at the same time, heroes that have been among us, we're losing them. I got a little sentimental when I recognized this headline that I'll read you next. Military.com reports, as of 2 days ago, actually yesterday, I'm sorry, Woody Williams, the last remaining World War II Medal of Honor recipient, died at the age of 98. There's a generation that is fading, and we're losing them on a daily basis, really. Well, the last remaining World War II Medal of Honor winner, Woody Williams, who earned his Medal of Honor at Iwo Jima, he died at the age of 98. The citation says that Williams' actions in battle were he quickly volunteered his services when tanks were maneuvering vainly to open a lane for the infantry through the network of reinforced concrete pillboxes, buried mines, and black volcanic sands. Williams daringly went forward alone to attempt the reduction of a devastating machine gun fire from unyielding positions. It went on to talk about the fact that he returned for demolition charges multiple times and kept running back under fire to destroy pillboxes by himself. Woody Williams, dead at 98, the last remaining World War II Medal of Honor winner. Now, I say all that to say there are any number of things happening in the world that tells us very clearly that we cannot not have a military that is in a ready posture, that we cannot afford to be at 23% reduction or you know, falling below the milestones necessary for recruiting. I would love to hear from a recruiter, by the way. And I know that you probably can't call in, identify yourself and where you are, but if you had the ability to call this show as a recruiter and maintain the anonymity you needed, I would love to hear from you right now about what it's like trying to recruit these days. Because what we're hearing is that across the board, that not only is it tough to find kids that would qualify without a waiver, but we're also finding that many of them don't want to be a part of it, who don't need the waiver, but they don't see a mission mindset. They don't see a military that speaks to them of the things they think the military should. That the woke policies are getting in the way, and the lack of mission focus is getting in the way. Well, the Warriors are still there, and I know they're still there. I know they're still there because the other day I stopped and paused and read about this year's 2022 Best Ranger competition. And they are still there. There are still those who will go to the nth degree and push themselves to the utmost limits to become the best they can possibly be in whatever branch of service that they're in. They're still there, and I know they are, but there's fewer of them than there have been. Story off the Daily Caller. Daily Caller has a story headline reads, Biden administration supercharged the military recruitment crisis with woke policies, one expert says. I'm sure it's not just one expert, by the way. Story goes on to say, the U.S. military has a recruiting crisis, according to NBC News. A military expert says the Biden administration's woke agenda has alienated potential recruits. It's not the end of the all-volunteer force, but it's going to a very dark place now, said the Center for Military Readiness President Elaine Donnelly. The U.S. military under a Biden Pentagon has sacrificed meritocracy for wokeness in recent years, sending a message that discourages new applicants and worsens the recruiting crisis. Military recruitment in 2022 has plummeted. There's the alienation of those who, you know, constitute the military's core recruiting market, it says, because of things like diversity quotas and refusing religious exemptions and teaching critical race theory at our military institutions. These have all contributed to a growing unwillingness to enlist, according to Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness. The result, she said, is a loss of prestige and meritocracy in the armed forces. Well, I agree. I mean, we've even got one study here cited in this article that says that the propensity to serve, which is an indicator, like a survey being done about sentiments towards service, has hit the lowest it's ever been since 2007. So we're looking at a 14-year low. It's 9%. 9% of the population eligible to serve has a propensity to want to serve. But there's other things that are happening that are impacting readiness. Like I can tell you right now, the Alabama National Guard, which is, by the way, if you're not familiar, let me just tell you this. The Alabama National Guard is one of the most amazing cadres of reserve component soldiers anywhere. There are only, for instance, there are only two reserve component special forces or Green Beret units in the entire Army inventory. One of them is headquartered in the Alabama National Guard, along with an entire line battalion of reserve component Green Berets and support troops. We also have one of the only explosive ordnance disposable, EOD, groups. The only reserve component group level EOD unit is in the Alabama National Guard. We also have, by the way, the only support command dedicated with a nearly full-time mission to NORTHCOM, that's the Homeland Defense here, which is actually half active duty and half guardman stationed right here in the Alabama National Guard. We also have an Air National Guard that is above reproach. We have two infantry battalions. We have an amazing National Guard component. But right now, AL.com is reporting, in this whole segment, when I'm talking about where are the Warriors, well, we got issues with recruitment and retention. And AL.com has an article right now, and I'll tell you about it more after the break, but it says thousands of Alabama Army National Guard soldiers could be out for failing to get their COVID shots, and the deadline is today. Talk about that more in a minute and the impact it's going to have on readiness nationwide. But folks, I'm telling you, this is no small thing. Where are the Warriors? Well, they're out there, but in my opinion, current leadership is driving them away. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I was telling you right before the break, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. Where are the Warriors is what I'm calling it. But But I was telling you right before the break how this is going to impact Alabama. We have an incredible National Guard. I was proud to serve in our Guard. I was a battalion commander in our National Guard. And folks, we have an amazingly, you know, high level of readiness and capability within our Alabama National Guard alone, Air and Army. So, that being said, how would you feel if I told you that you're about to lose 13% of that in strength, maybe as early as beginning today? Well, story off of AL.com, which is also making national news. Thousands of Alabama Army National Guard soldiers could be out for failing to get their COVID shots. Well, I would point out that, by the way, we are over 2 years. We're over 2 years since, you know, 14 days to flatten the curve, right? Over 2 years now. If they haven't impacted readiness yet, what are the odds they're going to? Pretty slim, I'd say. Well, thousands of Alabama Army National Guard soldiers could be forced out of the service for failing to get a COVID-19 vaccine, as being reported today by AL.com. The deadline being June 30th, that would be today. In analysis of National Guard data, the Associated Press found up to 40,000 soldiers, or about 13% of the overall force nationwide, have not yet received the mandated COVID-19 vaccine. As many as 14,000 of them have refused and could be forced out through out of their service. Guard soldiers have until today to get the vaccine. AP data shows that 82% of Alabama's National Guard members have been fully vaccinated to COVID, leaving roughly 2,160 without the shot. Okay, that's more. That's 18%. So we have 18% of Alabama's National Guard that has not chosen to get the vaccine for whatever reason. What that basically means is that they are looking at forcible discharge. It says if members fail to get vaccinated by June 30th or don't receive an exemption by that day, by the way, if you haven't gotten one yet, an exemption, what the heck? I mean, it's not like they didn't apply for it just like yesterday or something. They applied for it yesterday. This has been going on for a year. What does it take to process a piece of paper and look at it and go, religious exemption or no? Well, if they're still processing it, then your system's broken. Anyway, if members fail to get vaccinated by June 30th or don't receive an exemption by that day, Guard members won't be paid by the federal government if they are activated on government status. Oh, okay, so you're not discharged yet, but we'll make you work for free. Or we'll count you AWOL, which will go against your record, including monthly drills or two-week annual training periods. Guard soldiers activated on state duty may be able to be paid depending on the individual laws where they live. Well, that's an interesting thing, and I didn't realize that. So what we need to know is whether or not, if there's a natural disaster, if Governor Ivey would be willing to go ahead and pay them anyway. Right now, keep in mind, the reserve component is an active reserve, all right? It is a active, ready reserve. It's no longer the ones who don't deploy. The National Guard and Reserve deployed in epic levels throughout the last 20 years. 330,000 of our total in strength is in the National Guard. 330,000. And we're looking at losing maybe up to 40,000 of them in one fell swoop because of this ridiculous vaccine mandate. Meanwhile, some governors are actually saying something. Storyoffthehill.com. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin urged defense, this is dated 2 days ago, urged Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to indefinitely postpone the implementation of the department's coronavirus vaccine mandate for Army National Guard troops in a new letter obtained by The Hill on Tuesday. The letter, it says, which is also signed by several Republican Virginia representatives and legislators, argues that the mandate will drive members of Virginia's National Guard away. This directive, it says, the letter says, will unnecessarily impact troop readiness at a time when the Virginia National Guard has substantial deployments and as our nation enters hurricane season. These guardsmen deserve the opportunity to continue to serve, and we need them, it says. And yes, we do. Other Republican governors, including Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, have also voiced their objections. I don't know where Kay Ivey stands, or Governor Ivey. Do you? I don't. I would like to know. I think it's an important piece. She's looking at right now losing 18% of her current National Guard force right as hurricane season is underway. All that to say, there's more of this. But I've got an article here, you know, kind of gets into the same policies that I've been talking about. Task and Purpose wrote an article, came out June 27th, 3 days ago. The title of it's a little disheartening. And the title of it's a little misleading because there are still, you know, there are still people who recognize the value of military service and they're joining. So the fact that we're down doesn't mean that we're out. But what I'm saying is this one's called Why Nobody Wants to Join the Army This Year. It says the military is currently behind its recruiting goals for this year by 23%, a continuation of recruiting woes in which all branches of service seem to be throwing money at the challenge, but with the Army leading the way. The Defense Department anticipates also that a combined 150,000 service members from all branches will end their terms of service, or ETS, this year. So we're down on recruiting and we're down on retention. They've got a few indications why they think that is. I'll wrap some of that up with you as soon as we get back from this break in the last parts of number one of the Triple Dipper. Where are the Warriors? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.